This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me as always. Week one of the NFL season in the books. Week two of the college football season in the books. I'm going to break down some of the things that stood out this past weekend in terms of individual prospects, individual matchups, take a look to this upcoming week as we take you around the country talking about prospects at all different levels, you know, and what we see on film, some things that jump out at the box score, and a lot to talk about. You know, with finally a week of the NFL season behind us, with 2 weeks of college football in the books, and I'm just really excited to get started. So we're going to start right in the first segment of the night, and that is the NFL draft report. Right at the top, have to start with the injury to Rodney Anderson. He's a prospect that both Matt and I had as our RB1 in the summer. We talked about him as a guy who could be a borderline late first round to early second round pick. I really thought he was the one guy, you know, in terms of the running back position that had a legitimate chance to go in round one. I loved his combination of athleticism, his power, his speed, you know, his pass catching ability, his strength, and now to get to suffer this injury and to miss the remainder of the season, you know, raises a lot of questions. You know, does he come back? Does he stay in school? You know, if he goes, what does it do to his draft stock? You know, so many questions. You know, we're going to obviously have to see the severity of the injury, when he can, you know, work out, when he can get on the field, et cetera, et cetera. But it's really a bummer. Anderson was a guy who I was really excited to watch this year. And now obviously, you know, the injury is taking that away from us. So obviously it hurts the 2018 running back class significantly, especially in terms of at the top of that, it was Damien Harris, David Montgomery, you know, and then obviously Rodney Anderson. So this is a big blow to the 2018 running back class in terms of top end talent and just how high he might go coming off of this injury. Staying with the running back team, a couple things that stood out this week. Bryce Love had 22 carries, 136 yards, and a touchdown, you know, versus USC. But the big question is, durability has always been a concern for Bryce Love. Came out today that he's going to miss this week three game upcoming, you know, due to an injury. And that's the biggest concern with Bryce Love. It's one of the reasons why when I discussed him in the summer, you know, and Matt also, we both thought Bryce Love was a guy who at the NFL level might have to be in that 13 to 16 touch range, way more. And if so, maybe preserve his body a little bit, because we had some major durability questions. You know, at times he's carried a heavy workload at Stanford, but he just can't keep doing that. And he's not going to be able to do that at the NFL level. He's going to break. And we've seen signs and questions about durability at the college level. So I could only imagine what would happen at the NFL level. So he's going to be a guy who, again, all year, elite production at times, but he's going to be a guy who I think is going to be more of a round two, round three prospect, you know, maybe even slides to day three if teams have big question marks, but I think he offers too much game-breaking ability, but he doesn't show anything in the receiving game. So I think the NFL is going to have some serious questions about Bryce Love and how he translates at the next level, because if he can't catch passes out of the backfield and he's not a guy who can carry a heavy workload, then he really just becomes a change of pace guy. Now, I think he can be more than just a change of pace guy, but I really want to see him, you know, start making an impact in the pass catching game. Because if not, you know, I think you're going to have questions on how his game really translates, because he's not a guy who just pounded up the middle at the NFL level and expect to stay healthy. We haven't even been able to see him stay that healthy at college, and he's been nicked up and banged up a little bit. You know, another guy, one other running back that I want to talk about here in the NFL draft report is Miles Sanders. Continues to look impressive this week against Pittsburgh. He had 16 carries for 118 yards. But it's just, when you watch Sanders play, you see some explosion, you see some athleticism, you see some strength to his game. You know, obviously had big shoes to fill with Saquon Barkley, but Miles Sanders off to a good start. he's a guy who I think could push his way into that day two mix. You know, he's a guy who we should squarely have on our radar who, you know, with Rodney Anderson injured, Miles Sanders is a guy who could maybe, you know, elevate his stock a little bit and intrigue NFL teams. If we take this to the quarterback position, not a lot that I really wanted to get into tonight, but the two names I wanted to bring up were Kelly Bryant, quarterback for Clemson this week, 12-17, 205 yards and one touchdown, continues to look better than he did last year. But how long will he be able to hold off Trevor Lawrence? He's a name we'll talk about in the Devy Slant. But Kelly Bryant is a guy who, you know, looked pretty good against Texas A&M, has shown growth and development from last year. How long can he hold on to that job? Can he be a guy that intrigues NFL teams with his size, athleticism, you know, arm talent? You know, he's got some developing to still do, but can he put himself on the radar to be a day three type player potentially? And, you know, before the year started, I had question marks of whether or not he was going to keep the job. I had question marks whether or not he was going to be a guy who could be a draftable project, a draftable prospect. So he's a guy to follow closely. And then the other guy, I mentioned him last week, Nate Stanley out of Iowa, really struggled against Iowa State, 16 of 28, 166 yards. He is not off to a strong start this year. People are high on him. I just continue to not see his game translating to be a guy who I think, you know, warrants potential starting caliber traits at the next level. Maybe he's a, you know, day three developmental type prospect that maybe could develop into a backup quarterback. But I just don't see more than that from Nate Stanley when I watch him play. If we take this to the tight end position, one name I wanted to bring up is Caden Smith out of Stanford. He had four catches for 77 yards. He was in my top five in the summer. He's a guy, again, there's some athletic concerns. But if you think about, you know, savvy tight ends at the NFL level, even as they aged, Antonio Gates as he aged, Jason Witten as he aged, I feel like Caden Smith kind of is like the back half of the career of those guys where they didn't win with their athleticism or anything like that, but they were just smart. They used their size to their advantage. And I think that's what Caden Smith does. I think he uses his size and his frame to out-muscle people, to create some space at the catch point. I think he's got really good hands. I think he shows the ability to go up and get the ball and high point the ball well, especially in contested situations, especially near the red zone. So Caden Smith is a guy who I think could be on the NFL radar as a day, you know, a late day two or early day three prospect and intrigue some teams. If we take this to the wide receiver position to close out the NFL draft report, Bryan Edwards is a guy who Matt and I are really high on, having both in our top four, top five in terms of wide receiver prospects for 2018 class. He goes out against Georgia, seven catches, 111 yards, two touchdowns, outperforms his teammate Deebo Samuels, who only had six catches for 33 yards. But Edwards is the real story here. I'm not sure why people who follow the NFL draft closely, NFL draft talent evaluators, I'm not sure why Edwards' name is just not in the conversation more often as one of the top wide receivers in the country in terms of the 2018 draft class. He checks off all the boxes. He's got the size. He's got athleticism, the ability to go up and get the ball. I mean, maybe he's not a true burner, you know, but he's a guy who can win on, you know, the intermediate levels of the field. He can win vertically down the field. He can go up and be a red zone threat and high point the ball well. Really impressive. I think he pushes his way to being a top 50 pick when all said and done. I truly believe that. I think him and Deebo Samuels both, you know, could be top 50, you know, top 60 picks in the NFL draft. I'm curious to see as the year goes on if more mainstream NFL draft fans, NFL draft Twitter starts to catch a little bit more onto Bryan Edwards and maybe catches up to what the Devy community and what Matt and I have also been saying for quite some time on just how talented he is. Another wide receiver that I wanted to bring up, I mentioned him on the last show, is J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. After a really strong performance in week one, he came back down to earth a little bit. Four catches, 62 yards in this one. I still got some athleticism concerns about him. I still think he's more of a day three prospect than a day two prospect. You know, and in this game against better level of competition against USC, his stat line and production came down a little bit, you know, across the board. So Those are a couple of names, guys, that I think really stood out. One last name, David Montgomery, the running back out of Iowa State, struggled against Iowa. 17 carries, 44 yards. Pretty slow start right now to David Montgomery's season here with Rodney Anderson injured. Montgomery's squarely going to be on some people's radar as the number one running back prospect in the 2018 draft now, possibly with the news of the Anderson injury. I still put them at the, you know, I still put Montgomery in the top three or so, you know, with Damian Harris out of Alabama, and then obviously a wait and see here on Rodney Anderson. So a couple names there to keep in mind, some guys who maybe are improving their stock, you know, holding firm, or, you know, guys who are disappointing a little bit in this week's NFL draft report. Before we transition this over to the Devy Slant, here's a quick word from one of our sponsors over at SquadQL. If you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league, well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? The app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season. Head over to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL for free for both Apple and Android. So let's take this right back, guys, to the second segment of the evening, and that's the Devy Slant. A couple names that really stood out that I wanted to talk about. The first is Jake Fromm. I don't think Jake Fromm gets the attention and the notoriety that he deserves. What he did last year for Georgia as a freshman, taking the job over early in the year due to injury. And now this year, you know, I think he's a big part, you know, of what Georgia does. I know they have a great run game, but Jake Fromm is so cool, so calm and collected. I think he's going to be squarely on the radar as a round one prospect in the 2020 NFL draft. This past week in South Carolina, 15 of 18, 194 yards, one touchdown. Always seems like he, you know, is under control and is making big plays and big throws for the Georgia offense. I think Fromm is a guy who, over the next, you know, few months in, you know, before next year's college football season, I think he's going to become more of a household name than he already is. I think he's going to be a guy that you start seeing in top five, top 10 of mocks right after the 2019 NFL draft for the 2020 draft. I think Jake Fromm is going to be a guy who's squarely, you know, in the mix to be one of the top quarterback prospects in that 2020, you know, NFL draft. His teammate, DeAndre Swift, one of my favorite underclassmen prospects in all of college football. He only carried the ball 12 times this week for 64 yards and had one catch for 5 yards. I don't really think they needed him to be a big weapon. I think there's so much more to Swift's game. I think he can be an integral part of the pass game. You know, think about, you know what the Bengals finally did this week with Joe Mixon, what we've seen from Alvin Kamara on the Saints. I think DeAndre Swift can be that type of impact catching the ball. So I'm fascinated to see if they really unleash him, you know, in that area as well as, you know, traditional, you know, rushes and carries as well. A couple other guys to make note of, underclassmen. We talked about the true freshman, JT Daniels, on the previous Around the Country episode. You know, this week came back down to earth a little bit against a much tougher defense in Stanford. It was 16 of 34 for 218 yards and 2 interceptions. He will have better days, you know, but again, he's a true freshman, super young. You know, to ask him to play in that type of game early on in his career is really possibly asking for a lot. So Daniels is a guy we'll continue to monitor, you know, and see, you know, how he looks, you know, this year as the starter. And then to finish it off, two other Clemson players that I want to make note of. I already talked about Trevor Lawrence. He's a guy who, again, every single week on the Devy Slant, we're going to have to kind of check in on Trevor Lawrence. Is he taking the job, at Clemson. This week he played a little bit, 5 of 9, 163 yards and 1 touchdown. So he's pushing the ball vertically down the field, making plays there. So he's a guy that's really intriguing. And another guy who really popped is a guy Matt's been talking a lot about over the last year or so, and that's T. Higgins. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. He had 3 catches, 123 yards against, you know, the Texas A&M defense this past week. I really like Lawrence and Higgins' game. I still continue to say I think it's just a matter of time before Lawrence, you know, pushes Kelly Bryant to a backup role. Does T. Higgins develop and explode into that traditional, you know, big time, you know, Clemson wide receiver that NFL teams are drooling over and really excited to talk about? So there's about 5 names, underclassmen from this past week that I thought were worthy of discussing: Jake Fromm, DeAndre Swift, JT Daniels, Trevor Lawrence, and T. Higgins. So before we take this over to the tail of the tape, where we kind of take a look ahead at some individual prospects that we're looking forward to based on their matchup in this upcoming weekend of games, here's a quick word from our other sponsor over at the Quant Edge. No more getting crushed by the pros. With thequantedge.com, you will have the tools you need to play like a pro. With a lineup optimizer, an injury tool, wide receiver cornerback matchups, and a head-to-head tool, you will be armed with everything you need to win. Make up to 150 lineups in seconds. Get a true understanding of a player's value, see the week's matchups to exploit, and compare 2 players to help you make that decision you were on the fence about at thequantedge.com. It doesn't stop with groundbreaking tools. With 10 industry experts on staff, you also get exclusive access to over 20 betting and fantasy articles and podcasts a week, and can join the TQE community by participating in the premium membership chat. We at Saturday to Sunday Football have a special deal for our loyal listeners. Using the promo code S2SEdge, you get 10% off of your season-long subscription. Go to thequantedge.com to sign up today. So let's take this to the tail of the tape. Couple games, in mostly prospects in individual games that really stand out this upcoming week. The first one is Jarrett Stidham versus LSU. LSU looked really impressive in that opening win against Miami and now travel to play Auburn this week. How does Jarrett Stidham look versus that LSU defense that really stifled and gave Malik Rozier fits in that first game of the season? Again, Stidham's a guy I've talked a lot about. I think he's running a system that doesn't really cater to his skill set. Is that something that will continue, or will they make modifications as this year goes on? Another game that I'm excited to watch is that Boise State Oklahoma State, and the main reason is Justice Hill, one of the most exciting players in college football. His dual threat ability to impact the game as a rusher and a receiver intrigues me. Always curious. We already talked about Bryce Love earlier in the year and his durability issues. Same thing with Justice Hill. Can he handle a heavy workload repeatedly, or is he going to wear down and suffer injuries? That is really going to ultimately determine his NFL draft value and where he's positioned. I think he's got the talent and game-breaking ability to be a day two player, but he's got to show his ability to withstand the rigors at the NFL level. And how many touches can you get him? Is he going to be an 8 to 10 guy? Is he going to be 11 to 14? Is he going to be a, you know, a 15 to 17? Or is he going to be a 20 touch guy? I don't think he can be a 15 plus guy at the NFL level. I think he's got to live more in that 12 to 13 range. And I think he could be an electric player. You know, think Tariq Cohen, you know, think somebody like that. I think that's what Justice Hill could bring to the table. The Alabama-Ole Miss game, man, oh man, is there a lot of prospects that I'm excited to watch this upcoming weekend of college football. I think we'll get a really, you know, good vibe in terms of, and a good litmus test for some of these Ole Miss players. How does Jordan Tamu, the quarterback, look against that Alabama defense? Is he ready to push himself onto the national stage as a guy who could maybe push himself into a top 100 pick, you know, at the NFL level? I will be watching Jordan Tamu very, very closely this upcoming weekend to see how he does against Alabama, against that pass rush. Does he step up? Does he make plays on the move? You know, it's going to be fun to watch him. You know, and obviously they're 2 wide receivers from Ole Miss. You know, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, they're both 2 top 10 options probably at the wide receiver position. All A.J. Brown has done to start the year is continue to do what he did last year, which put up monster stats. He plays in that Juju Smith-type role. But I don't even think he gets the the accolades that he deserves, to be frankly honest with you. He's a really good player. He doesn't have that size, speed, freak type player. But again, neither did Juju Smith, who I think is a great comp for him. Other people have made that comp, you know, and I think AJ Brown could be a very effective NFL player, you know, as well as I do, you know, DK Metcalf. I think DK Metcalf can be also. Who emerges in this game, I think, is going to be fascinating to see how they do against this vaunted Alabama defense. On the flip side, you know, how does Tua continue to look? I mean, he's going to take that job and run away with it in games that, you know, Alabama has pushed. But right now, Tua looks like an elite prospect in the college game, and he's going to be a guy similar to Jake Fromm who's going to really be at the top, you know, of any 2020, you know, draft boards. You know, Tua, Fromm, those are going to be two guys that I think the NFL are going to be very high on. You watch Tua play, it's impossible not to see and think about Russell Wilson. How do they look? And how does Jerry Jeudy, the underclassman, you know, really has been impressive so far. You know, you watch him play and you definitely get some Julio Jones vibes. Really has the ability to win in a variety of ways. He's got the size. He's got the frame. He's got some athleticism. He's got the ability to high point the ball well. Jeudy is a guy who's really going to push himself on the radar to be one of the top, you know, wide receiver prospects when he's eligible to declare for the NFL draft. One other game that I'm excited to watch is the Ohio State TCU game. And again, really prospect driven. Why? How does Dwayne Haskins look in this game against TCU? Because right now, Ohio State, you know, has looked really impressive. Haskins has been tremendous this year. You know, such an upgrade in terms of his passing ability over the likes of JT Barrett, you know, Braxton Miller and those guys. How does he look on the road in his first real test of the season? I'm going to be watching this closely this upcoming weekend. And then obviously, how does J.K. Dobbins, the super sophomore, game-breaking ability, really impressive. You know, he's a guy, again, going to be right in the mix with guys like Cam Akers, you know, DeAndre Swift, Najee Harris. These are the top running back prospects in that class that are just so excited to get, you know, to talk about from well in advance because they really are, you know, it really is going to be an amazing class. Also, Paris Campbell, he's draft eligible for the 2019 draft. What do NFL teams think of him? How do they think his game translates to the next level? Is he a gadget player or is he a guy who could legitimately learn how to play the slot and line up inside? I think that will go a long way in determining, you know, what type of draft capital Paris Campbell can bring. Is he a second round guy? Is he a third round guy? Is he a fourth round guy? You know, that I think will impact a lot of it and how we see him this year. I want to see him be a more natural route runner. I want to see him be asked to run, you know, different routes and not just, you know, have these touches manufactured for him in terms of end arounds or screens, you know, or stuff like that. That's what I'll be watching closely. Paris Campbell running routes and how he looks out there. J.K. Dobbins and his big play threat. And Dwayne Haskins, could he keep it going against a much better defense than he's faced against TCU, who always is ready to play, very well coached? It's going to be fun to kind of watch this matchup and see if we get to actually see it on the field or before then, you know, we don't get that opportunity. So it's going to be fun to watch some really good games, some really fun individual prospects to watch this weekend. Really excited and looking forward to it. So before we close out tonight with the NFL rookie report, guys, please get over to the SaturdaySundayFootball.com website, click on the premium tab, and please check out our premium notebooks. Remember, you get all four notebooks for a total of $9.99. You immediately get access to the 2018 scouting notebook. It has over 25 wide receiver profiles, 16 quarterback profiles, 12 tight end, and 20 running back profiles already. These things will be updated during the year and then a big update after the year. We will change things as we go, draft projections. If we see things that we hadn't seen in past film, we'll update and edit it either during the year or after the year. We'll continue to add more prospects to it. The update ability, guys, is why we did it like this. It's why we did it on the Google platform. And we're really, you know, hoping that you check it out. Remember, the Sky Notebook is only one of the four notebooks. You also get immediately our rankings notebook. You get our draft eligible rankings. You get our Devy rankings, our freshman rankings, all that updated all year. Our Dynasty rookie rankings updated throughout their first year in the NFL. So you can use it as trade bait and stuff like that. In addition, down the line, you also get two more notebooks. You get the freshman notebook, and which will have about 40 to 50 player profiles and the top 40 or 50 incoming freshmen into the country in 2019. And then obviously the NFL draft projections notebook, which I'll have a tab for every single position, offense and defense, their combine measurements, you know, some notes or traits on each prospect, and I predict how they're going to come off the board, you know, by position. And then I also do a top 32 board, big board by position in terms of how I expect them to come off in round one, how a top 100 board broken down by position in terms of the top 100 prospects I expect to come off the board on the first three rounds, and then a guess at every single pick in the NFL draft. You know, last year had a lot of success in predicting what guys would go off on what day, obviously trying to match it to a team and in a direct order is almost an impossible task, but we're really trying to, you know, set the stage for you to really have it out during the draft and use it as a TV guide in terms of what is going to happen on draft weekend, to kind of combine that with all our notes and our takes on all these prospects as well. So let's close out the night with the NFL rookie report. Week one is in the books. Really gave us an opportunity to see these rookies now. So I'm going to go through position by position, give my thoughts at the quarterback position. Let's start there. Sam Darnold was the star of the rookies at the quarterback position. He led the Jets to a big time win on Monday Night Football on the road at Detroit. He was 16 of 21 for 198 yards and two touchdowns. He had a pick six on the first, you know, played a game, but really settled down after that, looked mighty impressive. You know, as a Giants fan who wanted the Giants to draft Sam Darnold, this is slowly the beginning of my biggest fear. Darnold becoming a franchise quarterback, and as good as Saquon Barkley is, and he's going to be, you know, a franchise quarterback trumps all in the NFL world. And Sam Darnold is already showing signs that he can develop into that with his play in parts of preseason and then this opening weekend as well. Some other quarterback stuff, Josh Rosen, you know, I expect to see him starting sooner rather than later. Sam Bradford really struggled in week one. I think Josh Rosen could take over that job, you know, within the next few weeks or so if Arizona continues to look as poorly as they did. And then obviously Nathan Peterman benched. Josh Allen comes in the second half. While he doesn't light the world on fire, he looks substantially better than Nathan Peterman, which leads me to believe that Josh Allen will get the start in week two. So that's something to keep a close eye on, give us a little bit better feel for him moving forward as well. At the running back position, the starter running back position unexpectedly was Philip Lindsay out of Colorado. He's a guy that Matt and I talked a lot about way back when in the when we were discussing the Shrine game. Really good receiver out of the backfield. For his size, you know, he's strong, he's physical, he can hold up in pass protection, you know, and he's got some juice and quickness and agility in his rushing ability as well. He had 15 rushes for 71 yards, but then also two catches for 31 yards and a touchdown. More importantly, his usage was equal to third-round rookie Royce Freeman. So the undrafted Lindsay, you know, basically, you know, out-touched the third-round pick who we've been hearing about all summer, Royce Freeman. If Lindsay is going to be this bigger role in the pass offense, in the run game, he's a guy who is a guy who I'd be buying aggressively in dynasty leagues, especially PPR leagues as well. If we take that, go from an undrafted guy to the number two overall pick, and that's Saquon Barkley, he was bottled down early on in that game against Jacksonville, but then you saw why Saquon Barkley is such a special player. Amazing run to take it to the house, really padded his stat lines to 18 carries for 106 yards and one touchdown. The Giants must maximize his talent and get him way, way more involved in the receiving game. I think that's something we'll see this week against Dallas. Barkley's still a guy, you know, you're not selling him. It's almost going to be impossible to buy him. You just kind of hold on to him if you have him and you go from there. With Jeremy Hill being injured and out the season for the New England Patriots, keep an eye on Sony Michel. That could open up a more immediate opportunity than maybe we thought he was going to get early on in this year. And also keep a close eye on the LeGarrette Blount injury. Blount struggled, but also got injured in Monday Night Football's game. So while Kerryon Johnson only had 5 carries for 17 yards and 3 catches for 20 yards, his opportunity, you know, may increase sooner rather than later. And I am a fan of his talent. Kerryon Johnson is a guy I'd be buying wherever I could right now as well. A couple other running backs to note: Ronald Jones was inactive. Rashard Penny split work with Chris Carson. Penny had 7 carries. Looked pretty solid, you know, but that offensive line in general, really poor, really forces to put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands often. In terms of the pass catchers, at the wide receiver position, really quiet week. Calvin Ridley played a lot. He played in most 3 wide sets for the Falcons, but was barely targeted and, you know, not very much part of the pass offense opening night there last Thursday against the Eagles. Calvin Ridley is a guy I'd be aggressively trying to buy in all dynasty leagues, especially if a team is looking to get a guy who could help in the more immediate future. That might not be Calvin Ridley. He might take him a while to become fantasy viable, but I do believe in the talent, his route running ability. DJ Moore, barely involved in that Carolina pass offense. Carolina struggled to move the ball through the air. I think they got to get DJ Moore involved sooner rather than later at the, you know, expense of Torrey Smith and, you know, Curtis Samuel and guys like that. DJ Moore's got to be playing a bigger role in that passing game moving forward, especially, you know, with the lack of big time playmakers, Greg Olsen getting hurt, you know, DJ Moore's got to step up. Christian Kirk played in 3 wide sets. Again, Kirk's going to be an interesting one. His best fit is in the slot, but that's kind of preoccupied by Larry Fitzgerald. So it'll be interesting to see how Kirk looks on the outside. Can he show some route running ability, or we're going to have to take a little bit of a wait and see approach there. Dante Pettis stepped in for the injured, Goodwin in the 49ers receiving corps. He's a guy who, Pettis, again, can play the slot, can play the Z, can play the X position. Versatile guy in terms of the receiving ability and where he can line up. That's something that Kyle Shanahan's going to really take advantage of. You know, Pettis had 2 catches for 61 yards and a touchdown. He's going to be a guy we have to squarely, you know, watch closely to see how much opportunity and playing time he gets. If you're in a deep league, you know, and you want to kind of take a speculative ad and see, you know, what happens with Pettis, the rest of that pass catching group as well. It's going to be, got to watch that closely. Cortland Sutton had 2 big catches for over 20 yards each, but those were his only 2 catches in a night. It's going to be hard for him to be fantasy viable week in and week out, but Sutton is going to have some blow up weeks even this year as the clear third wide receiver in the Broncos passing game. You know, but Sutton is really a buy for next year where he could really explode into a top 20 type wide receiver if Demaryius Thomas, you know, is cut or traded, or the Broncos choose to move on from him next year. Sutton is a guy who has some breakout potential. So if you can get him on the cheap now, it might be worth your time in a dynasty league. Michael Gallup and Anthony Miller, 2 guys we know were going to have big roles early on their offense. Not really so much. Michael Gallup had 1 catch for 9 yards. Anthony Miller had 2 for 14. And at the tight end position, with Hayden Hurst injured early on, first couple weeks of the season for Baltimore, Mark Andrews, the 3rd-round pick, had 3 catches for 31 yards. He's worth an ad if you're a Hurst owner and Andrews available in waivers. You can go out and get him. Mike Gesicki had 1 catch for 11 yards in his opening week. He's a guy that Miami's got to continue to get more involved in the offense, not only for his receiving ability, you know, but also just to try to get him to, you know, turn into a competent blocker. You know, he's got the size, he's got the frame. He's really got to work on technique. So it'll be interesting to see that. Ian Thomas is going to get an opportunity to start due to the Greg Olsen injury. He's a guy who I thought was a steal of round 4. I'm a big fan of Ian Thomas. He'd be a guy I'd be trying to get a hold of in some deep dynasty leagues, especially tight end premium ones, especially if you have Greg Olsen or multiple roster spots that you can taxi players on. Ian Thomas is a guy that I am a fan of. Also, Dallas Goedert, thought maybe with the Alshon Jeffrey injury, he was going to be a bigger part of the week 1 role. He only had 1 catch for 4 yards. It's going to take him some time to kind of get into the swing of things. So there it is, the NFL Rookie Report for this past week. A lot of fun things to talk about. So much is going to change from week to week. You got to be fluid with your rookie rankings. You got to know when to sell, when to try to pounce on a guy, and when to just hold guys. You know, but we'll talk, we'll do this every single week for you. So if you struggle with what to do with these guys in your dynasty leagues, make sure you're checking out the NFL Rookie Report. Make sure you're buying the premium notebooks for $9.99 so you get access to all our rankings by position, big board, you know, for even these, for these dynasty, for these rookies. We will do it all year as well. So make sure you're following along if you purchase the premium notebooks. So there it is, another episode of Around the Country in the books. You know, hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you're enjoying the new setup of these in-season episodes, the four segments to really cover prospects from all different levels, you know, in preparation for getting ready for that NFL draft, how they look, talking about some traits, talking about some stuff that jumped out in the box score that we have to keep a closer eye on. Hopefully you're enjoying these episodes, you know, more than previous years when we talked much more about the games and college football as a whole. We thought it was better to stay to our bread and butter prospect talk at all times, and that's what we will do. So on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, on behalf of my co-host, Matt Caraccio, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.